What is up, golf addicts? It's David and Pat coming at you for another podcast brought to you by RotoGrinders.com. Head over to RotoGrinders.com if you are into fantasy sports at all, any fantasy sport, check them out. The premium membership comes highly recommended by Pat and I. You will not regret it. We have got a huge show tonight. I'm excited. Pat, are you excited?
Man, I cannot contain my excitement. This is going to be huge. And, you know, we got the Ryder Cup coming here later this week, but we have a lot to cover before the Ryder Cup. So I'm ready to go, man. How about you?
You have a premium boxed wine selection for tonight?
I do.
It is a celebratory beverage.
It is so premium. I mean, it cost at least $20.
Nice. So that's solid.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So I can't wait. I just hope that I don't have to refill during this magnificent, you know, announcement that we're going to make tonight. So.
It's a Catalina wine mixer. So I don't know if you got the reference there or not.
I had no idea what you
clearly by the silence. All right. That would be a Step Brothers reference.
I never saw that movie.
What?
No, I haven't seen that one. I've seen some parts of it, but not all the way through.
Okay. Okay, we need to talk about that later. Good God. What am I doing right now? Who am I? Who's my co-host right now?
All right, let's focus here because
we want to remind you guys that we released a couple of good strategy podcasts out last week. We sat down with Notorious from Roto Grinders, definitely a daily fantasy sports expert in both the NFL and PGA. He specifically talked about building cash lineups and how he goes about picking contests and building lineups. We highly recommend it. And then before him, we did our GPP strategy show with Justin Van Zuden of Roto Grinders, also an expert, won a lot of money in DFS and GPPs in particular. So go give those shows a listen, especially before, you know, the new PGA season kicks off here in a couple weeks at the Safeway in Napa. You would do yourself some good, you know, if you give those shows a listen, pick up a few tips. That would be recommended. You know, the other thing we want to do is we want to remind you guys to leave us a review on iTunes. We've not really been hammering that lately. You guys got berated with it pretty good when we first started, so thanks to those who have already left a review. But we would ask that you guys take the time to leave a review. It doesn't cost you much, maybe about 2 or 3 minutes. Go to iTunes, give us an honest review. We do read them all, and we would appreciate any feedback. And if it's a good review, especially a good one, and if it's really funny and clever, we might just read it on the show. Like we had that one guy. Remember him, Pat?
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. All right, well, so we got a few things. We got three major topics tonight that we're going to cover, one being Ryder Cup, one being our major, major announcement and the news that we have been teasing and waiting to share with the world for a few weeks now. And then the first thing, though, that we want to talk about is, you know, the unfortunate loss to the golf community, to the world, really, with Arnold Palmer passing yesterday. And, you know, 87 years old, Arnie was clearly declining in health. You could kind of tell, he, this being the first year of this past Masters, he hasn't hit the ceremonial tee shot. And you could just see the health declining there. And you know, obviously Arnold Palmer touched a lot of people in his day, both on the golf course and off the golf course. And so there's so many good Arnie stories, like really good Arnie stories. But Pat and I, lucky enough to have our own kind of Arnie stories. And we just thought, you know, some of you guys may have heard these before, but we thought it'd be cool and a good reminder, again, of just kind of how cool of a person Arnold Palmer was. To take a minute and share those stories with you, they're pretty cool. We've been tweeting about them, and a couple of pictures have gotten a lot of attention. So you may have seen those on Twitter. So you'll get a little background here. But Pat, I was going to have you really tell us about your story first. I think it's pretty powerful, and obviously Arnold Palmer has meant a lot to your family. So explain how you've known the king.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate that, and it's. You know, when you're looking at, like, the Golf Channel today has pretty much all day spent time on Arnie and just stories about him. And there's so many people that, you know, he impacted their life in different ways. And it's not an exaggeration to say how great of a man he is. I mean, not just in golf, but in everything. And, you know, for me, he was very special to my family. You know, when I grew up, I had a brother who was born with a birth defect and also a rare blood disorder. And, you know, so it was tough with that for Rob, and that was his name. And Rob loved golf. I mean, he loved, you know, everything about it. And he couldn't, you know, we're going to play a voicemail from my dad here in a little bit. But Rob had only four fingers and couldn't really bend his elbows. But the way he swung the club was just majestic. And he would, he beat all the juniors. I mean, you should see all the trophies that he has. And it was just out of pure determination. But so he touched a lot of lives, you know, with how he approached the game and how he approached life, even though, in, you know, it was a short life in 9 years. And, you know, I feel like almost like Arnie kind of was an extension of that for me, you know, watching him play and watching how he was. And, you know, we had a special moment with him when Rob was very young. And, you know, we got to, and I posted a picture of this on our Twitter account, but Rob got to do a photo shoot and some other things with Arnold when he was very young. And, you know, Arnold was just so gracious and just kind and, you know, just such a gentle heart. And it, you know, it was very special for our family. And it, so when he passed and I heard about that, it kind of just, you know, it brought back memories of not just him and his greatness, but Rob as well. And so for me, it was, it's been a tough day, but I've, you know, sometimes when you think of these memories of not only Arnie, but my brother, for me, it also, there's a little bit of happiness there as well, because, you know, you just, I don't know, it's just incredible. And I'm trying to get through this without being, you know, too upset, I guess. But it's I loved Arnie. I'm going to miss him. I love my brother, and I miss him every day. But, again, I think, you know, we should probably play my dad's quick, you know, voicemail to us, which I thought was pretty special as well for Dad to call in and to the hotline bling number and leave this this message that you're going to hear right now.
Hey, David and Pat, this is Dad. I was calling in to give y'all a little story about my son, Rob. As you know, Rob was born with bilateral absence of the radius bone and no thumbs, but he had a real passion for golf. Well, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, I was on the board of the local March of Dimes chapter. And we had the brilliant idea that maybe we could get Arnold Palmer, who at that time was a national spokesperson for the March of Dimes, since he was going to be in Augusta for the Masters, to shoot a public service announcement for our local chapter. So we contacted Doc Griffin, Arnold Palmer's longtime personal assistant, and they emphatically agreed to help us with that. And we decided we would use Rob in that. So of course, very nervous, got Rob dressed, and we went over to where Arnie was staying that week of Masters, and they received us with open arms, never been felt more at home. Rob and Arnold Palmer just got along great. They shot the little PSA, and Rob and Arnie talked for a little while about golf, and just the most warm, nice person you can possibly imagine. So I thought I'd relate that to you guys and hope y'all have a great show tonight. Thanks. Bye.
All right. So we really appreciate Pat's dad, P. Perry Sr., taking some time and calling the hotline bling. You know, I love it, man. And I love that picture. You know, I look at the picture and you see Rob, and you can tell that obviously physically, Rob was not able to do the things that he probably wanted to do, and yet he overcame, obviously, on the golf course. And then you look at Arnie, man. Like, I just look at his forearms and his hands. Like, he just looks like such a monster. And those, I don't know, he just had, like, Popeye arms.
He did. That is exactly that is a great way to explain it, yeah.
Yeah, like, just such a strong dude, man. And that's just one of the greatest pictures. I love that picture of Arnie and your brother, and appreciate your dad being willing to share that with us. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, man, it was just definitely special. And so we mourn the loss of Arnie today, but, man, what a great life, a great man. And, you know, he touched a lot of folks, as anybody who's a listener of ours, I'm sure, has seen. And I mean, you look at all the tweets and the messages and everything from President Obama to anything. I mean, it's just, it's been amazing. So, again, he's the man, he's the king. So, and I know you've got, you know, a kind of more of a lighthearted story about him. So, kind of talk to us a little bit about, I know you got to caddy for him and spend a day with him, so give us, you know, I want to hear about that. You know, I've heard it before, but I want to hear it again.
Yeah, man, so most listeners probably know, because I say it a fair amount, but I caddied at the Augusta National for a couple years, and in the fall, it was actually about this time, maybe a little later into October, but in October of 2008, I was able to very luckily land in Arnie's group at Augusta, set up to play 18. He was playing with three friends from Latrobe. They had just flown in for the day. His friends were all kind of in their 50s, early 60s, you know, a little bit younger than Arnie was. So at this time, I guess Arnie would have been, 79 years old or so. So, you know, he was getting up there, but he was still able to go out and hit the golf ball. And obviously, it's a pretty reverent feeling. I mean, it just feels very surreal and reverent to be walking the grounds of the National with Arnold Palmer. So it was pretty amazing. I was pretty starstruck, obviously, which I tended not to get. You know, just being at Augusta, you run into people like that. But with Arnie, it was just different. And you know, a few holes in, you could see, I mean, Arnie just wasn't hitting the ball like he used to. He wasn't hitting the ball like he saw it, you know, like he saw it in his eye and in his mind. And, you know, he wasn't very long anymore, obviously, and just things weren't happening. And he would get, what I remember so vividly about that day is he would get so upset at himself, like, genuinely, not being like one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm professional and I gotta act like I'm the best, but like genuinely, I feel like he would have been doing the same thing if you're the only person on the golf course. He was so competitive with himself and hated the fact that his body couldn't do what he knew, you know, he was great at for so long. And to hear Arnold Palmer, you know, during a practice round, you know, just a play round with buddies, you know, cuss at himself or, you know, get mad at himself or say, you know, Arnie, you dumbass, you know, like say that about himself when he hit a bad shot, which is what all of us do, but none of us are Arnold Palmer. To hear him do that was so weird. And I was talking to caddies walking down the fairway, like, can you believe this? Like, can you believe that we're listening to Arnold Palmer complain about his game and like what is happening right now? Like, yeah, I just wanted to go, Mr. Palmer, like, don't sweat it. You know, like, I knew that wouldn't carry any weight with him, but you just wanted to kind of go, look, man, like you could do anything out here and you're a god, you know? So I remember that being really, really surreal, but he was a total gentleman. He was extremely kind to the caddies. He didn't take shots to make the caddies feel like less of, you know, lesser people or to make us feel dumb or, you know, he didn't make fun of anybody or, you know, I mean, he had some joking around with his buddies and stuff, but he was just a nice guy. He was humble. He wanted to make sure his guests had a great time, and it was fantastic, man. It was just surreal as it could be. we were, you know, obviously at Augusta, you did not make a habit of asking for an autograph or getting a picture. That just wasn't something that you were allowed to do. They didn't really care who it was. But we were walking down like number 10 or 11, and I went to the senior caddy and I said, hey, listen, like, I don't care. I'll get fired. I don't care if they fire me, but I can't do this and not have a picture, you know, with Arnie. I have to have it. Like, will you talk to him about it? And so we're walking up to 17T, and he said, hey, you know, Arnie said he'd do it, but we got to do it on 18T box. And it's one picture with all four caddies, and he'll sign one thing for you. And I was like, awesome. So we took our picture. That's the one I posted on Twitter yesterday, and took the picture. He was gracious to do that. And then he signed a scorecard for me, which obviously I've kept pretty under lock and key here for the last 8 years. And then the last like really cool moment, he hit his second shot into the fairway bunker on the left side of 18. And then he hit it out and was about 20 yards short of the green on the front right side. The pin was kind of that Sunday location, front left. And so he had like a little, you know, 30, 40 yard little chip up the hill. And his caddy was left raking the bunker. So I grabbed Arnie's bag and I walked up with his bag and my player's bag. And I walked up to him. My guy was on the green. So I left his caddy to rake, and I took the bag, and I presented it to him at the pitch shot. And I'm standing there, and he like waggles, and he starts to take his practice swing, and he looks up at me, and I'm sure I doubt he remembered my actual name, but he looked at the name tag on my hat, and he said, hey David, you know what I'm going to do after this? And I said, no sir, Mr. Palmer. And he said, I don't know if you know, but there's a real pretty young lady up there that'll give you a nice chair massage. And I think after this, I'm going to have a sandwich, a cocktail, and I'm going to get a chair massage from that nice young lady. And I said, Mr. Palmer, that sounds great. Fantastic.
I doubt and, you said that.
No, I didn't say that. And he just put his head down, hit his chip, made a couple putts, and then walked off. You know, I mean, it was so cool, man. So, a lot of love for Arnie, and, definitely a loss in the golf world, though, for sure. So
yeah, it's huge, but again, just what a life, man. He was great, fantastic in every meaning of the word, or the non-word. I don't know. I love the man, and it was very sad, but he lived a great life. So
he absolutely did. And if anything, Arnie always wanted to have fun, man. The guy was about having fun, and that's what we're going to continue to do here. So we're going to keep making golf fun, growing the game, growing tour junkies, and hopefully, you know, bringing some humor and some fun to your day if you choose to spend time listening to us. So that kind of takes us into, Pat, our big announcement. You know, we've been teasing this for a few weeks. We've been talking about it for a little bit. We want to get to some Ryder Cup preview. We obviously are going to the Ryder Cup. We could not be more excited about that. So we're going to talk about the Ryder Cup. But before we do, we've got to talk about this big announcement. And Pat, I don't really know, how should we do this, man? I mean, what do you think? Do you want to start it off?
Or do you want me to start it off? I think you should start it off, you know?
Okay.
I mean, I think you do it. You go.
So here's what happened. Tour Junkies, we did our T-shirt thing, man, and we saw some folks. We got some people messaging us, emailing us, asking us, man, do you have some swag? Do you have a T-shirt? Do you have a Yeti? Well, you know, what do you have? And so we did the T-shirt sales thing, and it went well, man. But what we learned is, you know, our logo wasn't quite where it needed to be flexible enough to go on a lot of different things, you know, because us golfers, man, we love culture and we love style. So, you know, we wanted to see the Tour Junkies logo fit on a T-shirt, but also on a hat or a head cover or a golf shirt or whatever that may be. And so, you know, we started kind of dreaming about how that could look. And as you guys have obviously seen now at this point, through the icons on Twitter and Facebook and Google Play and iTunes or whatever, however you're listening to us, we got a little upgrade, man. And it all started because a fine company by the name of Weir Stewart, that is Weir Stewart, WIERSTEWART.com, at Weir Stewart on Instagram, at Weir Stewart on Twitter. I got to give them their plug because, you know.
Well, they do fantastic work. So
they really, really do. These guys are so above Pat and I and Tour Junkies. It is not even funny. Like, the level of clients that they work with is so above what we are that we are eternally grateful for them taking on this project and doing it so willingly for us. They're kind of buddies of Pat's, and I'd like to call them friends as well here, even though I've just gotten to know them here recently. But you know, they basically said we want to take Tour Junkies, and we like Tour Junkies, and we want to help you guys rebrand this thing. So they kind of went away in their little creative holes for months and months at a time, and came out with a mascot, and came out with a new icon, a new font, and kind of this new idea of how to present Tour Junkies and take it to the next level. So, you know, first of all, we just want to thank that crowd. I mean, Alex, Daniel, Beth, Amanda, Froof, Sean, Judah, Felix, Leonard, Lauren, intern Stacy, and, you know, all the rest of the Weir Stewart crew. We just want to thank them a ton for the work that they've done. It's unbelievable. But it's exciting. So, you know, we've got the mascot, Pat. Do you want to talk a little bit about the mascot?
Yeah, so the mascot, at first, it's kind of one of those things where you sort of wonder about it first, and you're like, we'll see what happens with this. I don't know. What could be a Tour Junkies mascot? But they came up with, to me, the perfect mascot for us, which is a blind squirrel. And, you know, when you talk about we talk about fantasy, we talk about, you know, in some ways gambling, and it's kind of, you know, like a blind squirrel, you know, where, you know, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So they came up with a great mascot for us. But the best thing is the name, you know, I mean.
Yes.
Golby.
Yes.
That is the name of this mascot. And
yeah. Can I tell that story?
Yeah, you can tell that story.
I'm sorry. I didn't really give you much time. I just love that story. So we had the mascot. We agreed on the blind squirrel. We love the way that it fit thematically with, like, what we do and the luck aspect of this. But also, listen, you know, we want Tour Junkies to be fun. We don't want it to be stuffy. We don't want it to be stiff. We want it to be fun, and it's some luck involved. Obviously, we put a lot of research and time and effort into this, as a lot of you guys do too. So there's a lot of skill involved as well. But there's always that element of luck, and we just want it at the end of the day to be fun. So Golby comes out, right? Golby is birthed. And we're sitting around at Weir Stewart's office talking about the brand. And we had already seen a glimpse of Golby and knew that we'd have to come up with a name. But we'd kicked around some names and we weren't really settled on one. And Alex Weir of Weir Stewart said, you know, it'd be cool is if you named it like after an old golfer. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, it would have to be, it couldn't be like a Jack or, you know, somebody like that, somebody famous, like really well known. It'd have to be somebody kind of on the fringe because, you know, we like the guys kind of on the fringe. And he said, what about Bob Golby? And Pat and I were like, what? And he said, Bob Golby won the 1968 Masters. In your hometown, the place where Tour Junkies was born, won the Masters after walking off the 18th green on Sunday, tied, ready for an 18-hole at that time playoff the following Monday, when his playing partner or his competitor who he was tied with, which was DiVincenzo, I think is his last name.
I think he butchered that. But
did I butcher that?
Yeah, you were close though. I'm not gonna attempt to.
Yeah, no. He signed the incorrect scorecard, taking penalty shots and giving Golby the 1968 green jacket. So it was just perfect. I mean, it was obviously a lot of skill that got him there. There's nothing that says that Golby wouldn't have beat him, you know, coming around to the playoff on Monday. He very well could have. He obviously played well to, you know, especially on Sunday to tie. But a little bit of luck prevented him from having to do so. And so it was just perfect. The blind squirrel's name is Golby. Now, having done a little bit more research on Bob Golby, what's also affirming is, so that week, you know, back in the day, a lot of PGA Tour players did not have regular caddies like they do now. They just kind of picked guys either locally or some guys that would just show up, you know, to carry the bag. And he had not met his caddy for that year's Masters until the week of. And happened to be the caddy's nickname was Marble Eye, because old Marble Eye happened to be blind in one eye and had a marble in his eye, which is fantastic. Also,
very ironic.
alluding to the blind squirrel. And what's even more gangster about old Marble Eye is Bob Golby tells a story in a 1968 Sports Illustrated article that after winning the Masters, he gave Marble Eye about $2,000 or $3,000 as his cut for caddying, and invited him to come down to Florida the very next week and caddy for him in a different tournament. When Marble Eye showed up in Florida the following week, Golby said he showed up in brand new green leather gator shoes, which is just killer. I mean, I can't be more proud of Marble Eye for that choice. Like, you get that nut, right? You just trip into the guy who you know, halfway lucked into winning the tournament, and you blow it on green gator shoes. I just think that's incredible. So
I don't like anything involved with gators, but we'll move on from that.
We just felt like Golby was the perfect. It was just too perfect of a story. So the Tour Junkies mascot, now posted up everywhere, being Golby, taken from the Bob Golby store. Bob's still alive, actually. He's still alive, and we'd love to have him on the show one day. I'd love to interview him about that. I know that that obviously he was a great golfer. Actually had 11 PGA Tour victories in his career, that being his only major. Another great thing about Bob Golby that we know is apparently Bob was known for a few things on tour. A lot of the players on tour called him, you know, kind of a bulldog, kind of a big personality, very animated, got along. You know, most people liked him. He was kind of, you know, kind of out there, but we like that. And also, he was known for the nastiest hook on tour. Like, people on tour basically said that when Golby's game went south, when he wasn't playing well, his huge miss off the tee was a disastrous duck hook, and like that it was just famous. It was like the Golby hook, that was like more of a hook than anyone else's hook, which is also phenomenal, because that just, to me, this just epitomizes the Tour Junkies and what we're about and what we like and what we love about golf and culture and being able to laugh at ourselves and have a good time. So Bob Golby, if you're out there, if anyone knows Bob Golby or how we can get in touch with him, we want to have him on. But Golby is the new mascot. Obviously a little different TJ look and a little different font as well that you can see. And so we got some new images out there. We got some new some new branding, if you will, going on. We'll also have a new website coming. So we want to give you that heads up too. The new website should be out on Friday of this week. So Friday of the Ryder Cup week, the new website should launch, and you will be able to get your hands on some new Tour Junkies merch and some new Tour Junkies gear, and it is top-notch, high-quality, A-class crap. So just be ready for that, and the new site's going to be baller. Pat, what would you add, or you know, what else do we need to convey to the folks about the new launch?
Well, I just think that, you know, there's been, this has been a project that seems to have been, it's for, on our end, as you would probably say, has taken a long time, but there's been a lot of, you know, time and effort put into this, and we love what we're putting out there, and it's just fun. And I think that any of our listeners, especially the loyal ones who've been listening to us for a while, you know, we can't wait for you to see this and check us out and just remember what we're trying to do and what we're all about. That this is just, this is fun for us. And I also have to thank Ware Stewart. Alex Ware is a great friend of mine, and they have, I don't know about you, but every time we've talked to them and they've told us what they're doing for us, it just blows my mind. I mean, it's been incredible, because they didn't have to do this, but they did because they believe in us and they believe in the Tour Junkies and what we're all about. And that's why I think this is going to be good. And, of course, Golby is the perfect name. And it didn't really take us that long to come up with that because we did, you know, kind of toss it around for a second, but it didn't take too long. And Alex is definitely to be commended for that. But I can't wait till the website, you know, gets ready and is launched. But, you know, listeners out there, you know, check this stuff out. Buy our stuff, right? I mean, that's the first thing I'd say, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and you know, we hope you guys like the new direction. We hope you guys will share the launch for us. It's really exciting. You know, obviously we do this show every week. It costs you nothing, and we're not in this to get rich. We never have been. I don't know that we can.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
We've always kind of leaned towards not having some kind of content subscription service or anything like that. We just love doing the show, and we've always appreciated podcasters who give us a great experience when we're in the car and we're on our commute or we're on the way to pick up the kids from school or whatever it is, and we just want to listen to something that's entertaining and informative. So that's what we try to do, and for us, we want to keep getting better at that. We want to go to more events. We want to be able to do more more things, make better connections, improve the quality of the show, and really the best way that we can do that at this point now is to grow the Tour Junkies following and the brand through Golby and through some of the other stuff that's about to come out, and so just stay tuned for that, and we really would appreciate in return your continued listening and your support. So obviously listening is the number one thing, so we just appreciate you for doing that and giving us your time, because we know that there are thousands of podcasts out there and you can only pick a few, you can't listen to all of them. So
well,
that's awesome.
You know, on top of that, too, I mean, I can't thank our listeners enough for, you know, what they do and how they've supported us. I mean, we started this thing, I guess, you know, about this time last year. Well, you and I started before that, but as far as when we first released our first podcast, and our listeners have been great. They've been very supportive, and we hope they'll continue to support us. As I know they will. And so this is a huge thing for us. So we're excited. I'm a little nervous on how know, you got to admit you've got a little nervousness to you, don't you, David?
Agree. But, yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun. I mean, and that's why we started this, and why we do it every day, and why we love it. So I'm just can't wait to get this going. And now we get to go to the Ryder Cup, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. And here's what's going to be really fun, too. In addition to being able to go to the Ryder Cup, which is just going to be a blast, and we've already got it set up to meet a couple of you guys. There's a few listeners that have already reached out to us saying you're going to the Ryder Cup. So, hey, if you have not reached out to us and told us that you will be there, we want you to let us know. We will be there pretty much Thursday through Monday, or definitely Sunday, but a little bit on Monday, and are looking forward to meeting as many of you as we can and hanging out and watching some golf together. But you know, here's what I would tell you who are going to be at home watching the coverage on TV, is I know you'll be glued in. be on the lookout for some Golby swag, man. We have got some gaudy, just tacky.
Gaudy is
American flag. Yeah, American flag rocking Golby t-shirts that are just stars and stripes and a big fat Golby head on the front that we are going to be proudly wearing and cheering on Team USA, along with some Golby hats. So we've got about 15 or so of us that'll be down there, you know, walking the grounds of Hazeltine, rocking the Golby swag and the TJ swag. So if you spot that on TV, man, hey, you know, screenshot that
screenshot
thing.
Screenshot it
and shoot it out there, man. We're excited. We'd love to see that if that works out. And if you're down there, please let us know. We're really looking forward to it. These are not shirts or hats that are for sale. This is just for Ryder Cup attendees only, and we're just trying to launch the brand. So be on the lookout for the guys in the really gaudy. And you know, it's Ryder Cup, so everybody's wearing wacky stuff. So we may not stand out all that much, but you will recognize a big fat squirrel head on a t-shirt. That's for sure. So, and with that, you know, let's talk Ryder Cup, Pat. I mean, I think we're excited about the brand. Once again, appreciate you guys and you know, support it. If you hate it, I'm really sorry that we can't please everyone. Although we'd love to, but we can't, and we'll just move on. But Ryder Cup, man, Ryan Moore gets the nod after going toe-to-toe with Rory for about four holes. Ryan Moore gets it, and he's the final captain's pick for Team USA. The teams are finalized. So, you know, the U.S., Captain Love, now has five co-captains. Jim Furyk, Tom Lehman, Steve Stricker, Tiger Woods. And then, you know, Bubba Watson, who you could definitely make an argument for should have been a player and is now just begged to be a captain.
And wait a second. He's not a co-captain, is he?
Yes, he is. He is asked to be a co-captain, and Davis Love has granted it to him. His name is already on the side of a golf cart in Hazeltine that says, co-captain Bubba Watson.
Okay.
Which, you know what? I mean, props to Bubba, because if that were me, I don't think I'd be all that interested. Like, but the dude is patriotic. Like, we know that. He wants the Ryder Cup in the U.S., and he wants to be a part of it. And he should have been. To me, he should have been a part of it. But, and I'm not necessarily saying he should have been a part of it over Ryan Moore. I almost feel like he should have been a part of it over Ricky Fowler. But whatever side of that you fall on, Bubba is now a co-captain. He is one of five co-captains, the task force, if you will, that is to bring the Ryder Cup back to the U.S. since the first time, since 2008, we have not had the Ryder Cup.
Well, I don't mind him as a co-captain. I mean, that's fine and all, but you kind of shocked me a little bit with that. I never really saw that, but I don't think he should have been on the team. So I mean, I guess that's,
yeah, I do. You know. But we don't have to argue that it's over now. But
yeah, but you know, I do love Tiger being a co-captain. I think that's fantastic for us.
Well, and if he doesn't get his game together in the next 3 or 4 years, he'll be a captain, which will be fantastic. I mean, that'll be amazing.
Yeah.
And just for the sake of the show, just to run down the team real quick, your captain's picks for the U.S. were Cooch, Ricky, J.B. Holmes, and Ryan Moore. The guys who qualified were DJ, Zach Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Phil, Patrick Reed, Brant Snedeker, Jordan Spieth, and Jimmy Walker. And then for Team Europe, you have Captain Darren Clark, co-captains Thomas Bjorn, Patrick Harrington, Paul Lowry, Ian Poulter, and Sam Torrence. Your captain's picks, only three for Team Europe: Keimer, Peters, and Westwood, the old Wiley veteran who's been talking trash on Twitter already. And then you've got Cabrera Bello, Fitzpatrick, Sergio, Rory, Rose, Stenson, Sullivan, Willett, and Chris Wood. So those are your rosters for the Ryder Cup. You know, our plans, first of all, we are super excited. We're going to be in Minnesota on Thursday. I think we'll just be playing a little golf on Thursday. And then Friday, we are going to get out to the tournament. Saturday, we're going to get out to the tournament. And Sunday, we're going to get out to the tournament. In the meantime, we're looking at maybe going to Lumpy's party. That looks like a lot of fun. Old Tim Heron,
can't wait for that.
PGA Tour. Got him a party going on the lake there at Excelsior, Minnesota. That looks like a good place. So we'll be hanging out with all the, you know, the Yankees up there in Minnesota, and we'll have a good time. Looking forward to hanging out with Moose at Moosonomics and some other listeners who are going to be up there. So it's going to be a great week for us. And as we already mentioned, we'll just be walking around the course with the big squirrels on our t-shirts and screaming loud things about the U.S. So, What do you think, Pat? I mean, what are the storylines for you? What are you interested in checking out when we're there? And kind of, I would also say, like, what are some pairings that you'd be interested in seeing?
Well, first off, I mean, this is it's an event that obviously I've never been to, so I'm pretty excited. I'm used to going to the Masters and things like that, but this is going to be totally different. So I can't wait to just see what the atmosphere is like. I mean, we talked to Stephen Bowditch a few weeks ago about how, like, just every hole is pressure, and it's just a different, you know, feeling for these players. So I want to feel like what the vibe's like at this, and at the, you know, and I think so. I'm excited about that part. As far as the actual play. Yeah, I think Davis Love has some tough choices that he's got to make. You know, this is a very long course. I mean, you look at East Lake, which we considered long, was about 7,300 yards, but this course is 7,600 yards, which we've talked about many courses this year, but that is definitely one of the longer ones that we're going to talk about, par 72. You got a lot of dog legs. You know, I think obviously length is going to be a big deal, but you got to work the ball on these holes. So I think that I think the pairings this year, almost more so than any, are more important than ever. And so it's you can't just, you know, put a guy that's a long hitter like DJ with a guy that's, you know, going to be able to, you know, has a great short game or whatever. I mean, there's going to be some creative thinking that I think Davis Love's going to have to do. I mean, to me, more than ever this year, the coaching or the, you know, the captains are going to play a big role in how this is going to play out. But there's a few pairings that I'd love to see. I think, you know, DJ with a guy like, you know, just like a super pairing like DJ with Spieth, you know, something like that would be fun to see, or a DJ with Mickelson. You know, they're going to have to think outside the box, because we've always in the Ryder Cup seemed to just sort of, you know, stay with the script. You know, we never break the mold, and I think this year we need to break the mold, and we need to, you know, try different things and just see what happens. And so, I don't know. It's going to be exciting to watch, and. I can't wait. I mean, what are your thoughts about, you know, kind of how the pairings are going to go and you know, who's going to sit on certain days and, you know, whatever else?
Well, first of all, let me just give some basics. Just in case, you know, you're a listener who doesn't know a ton about the Ryder Cup. Like I said earlier, the U.S. hasn't won since 2008. You get a total of 28 matches, each match worth a point. If you if you're tied after 18 holes, there is no playoff. You're just going to half the match. The team that gets 14 and a half points first is going to take home the Ryder Cup. If for some reason each team gets 14, unfortunately, the Ryder Cup would stay with Team Europe. On Friday and Saturday, which I'm really excited about this, on Friday and Saturday, in the morning you're going to have foursomes, which is alternate shot, and then in the afternoon you're going to have four ball, which is best ball. I'm really pumped as a patron this week to see the alternate shot go down. It's something that I've actually played in only a couple of times, but even just me playing with friends in a tournament for a fundraiser is always fun. I feel like there's an added amount of pressure in alternate shot. And so I'm really interested to see that live and in person with the best golfers on the planet. So that's the schedule for Friday and Saturday. And Sunday, obviously, you've got your 12 singles matches, which usually it always comes down to Sunday and those singles guys kind of performing. So, you know, you can kind of pontificate about pairings all you want, but that Sunday day is huge. That's a big day for sure. Friday, you're going to have coverage on the Golf Channel, so you want to check that out. It'll be on the Golf Channel on Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, we get NBC for the coverage. As you mentioned, Hazeltine, obviously a pretty big – it's a big boy golf course. It's time to put your big boy pants on. So Robert Trent Jones designed par 72, 7,600 yards. It did host the PGA Championship in 2009, which is one of the – only times we've seen someone take on the Tiger and slay the Tiger, which was Y.E. Yang winning here at Hazeltine at 09 to beat Tiger. If you looked at the leaderboard in 2009, one thing I found interesting is there are actually five European team members from this year's Ryder Cup that made the cut in 2009, and actually four of them were top 10. Which is pretty scary. That was not as good of a showing for the U.S. At that time. There are there could be three or four par fives over 600 yards on this golf course, and there are a couple par threes like in that 210 to 220, 225 range. So it is a big golf course, and to me, that's one of the reasons why I wasn't really a fan of the Ryan Moore pick. I just wasn't that much of a fan. And what was also a little deflating is just seeing how some of the Euros were playing on the weekend at the Tour Championship, as opposed to DJ kind of fading Ricky and or not Ricky but Bubba and Spieth not really playing all that well, although Bubba's not playing anyway now, but Spieth not playing very well, Walker didn't play very well, Moore did okay, which obviously earned him the captain's pick, Reed did okay, but Rory just playing the way he did was phenomenal. So I don't know, man. I felt a lot more confident before I saw Rory just turn it on and DJ just totally shrink over the weekend. I don't know that that's really an indicator of form going into Ryder Cup. You know, the Tour Championship's a whole new ball game, but it's interesting. As far as pairings, Baudo talked about a couple of key things. Obviously, that you tend to put a bomber with a bomber and a short hitter with a short hitter, so these guys are used to – the bombers are used to hitting out of, the rough or the pine straw because they're not as accurate, whereas Zach Johnson's not used to that, or the yardages are going to be off. And he also mentioned the ball, which I think was often overlooked before he kind of brought that to my attention. You actually mentioned a pairing that I would like to see, but I don't think we're going to see it. Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth are a pairing that have had a ton of success in match play and in Ryder Cup. They're kind of the new young gun pairing that's been pretty dominant here lately, and I can see why. I mean, similar games for the most part, but I would love to see those guys split and go with a DJ Brooks Koepka kind of deal. So either Reed with DJ or Brooks and Spieth with the other, I think would be interesting because Reed and Spieth are long enough. They're not, it's not pairing Ryan Moore and Dustin Johnson. I mean, nobody's Dustin Johnson long. I mean, Brooks Koepka and JB Holmes may be the only two guys that can even come close. But I think it would be interesting to see a Patrick Reed or Jordan Spieth who are long enough playing with DJ and having that short game advantage and that wedge play advantage from those two. And the same thing goes with Brooks. I think that'd be an interesting pairing, but I don't think the Captain Love and the Task Force will be splitting up the Spieth-Reed pairing. I could definitely see a DJ-Brooks pairing, which would be just the sexiest damn pairing on the planet. I mean, I don't know that it could get any hotter than DJ and Brooks Koepka. Wow. I mean, they're just two man dimes. It just is what it is. As long as neither one of them, as long as DJ doesn't talk, I can guarantee there won't be a whole lot of conversation on that pairing. But I could see Phil and Ricky playing together. They're kind of buddies. Ricky and Jimmy Walker.
I think you'll see that for sure. I would bet money on that you're going to see a Ricky Phil pairing.
And what do you think, like a Cooch-ZJ pairing I could see?
Yeah, that's the boring pairing.
Or Snedeker. I think that, yeah, that's going to be the boring one.
The boring ones are probably going to win. Like, the boring ones are going to win.
Yeah.
Constantly. But, I mean, I don't know.
If you're Captain Love, who's sitting out the most? Which is hard to tell. I mean, because if a guy you think is going to sit out for most of the tournament comes out in his first match and dominates. But I'm just saying, if you had to nail down somebody right now who really only sees, you know, one match or so, who's that going to be?
As much as I like the guy, and obviously he won the PGA this year, I think it's going to be Jimmy Walker. I think he's going to sit the most.
Huh. I was going to say Sneds.
No, because I don't think Sneds is going to sit the most because of his putting. And I just think you got to have killers out there with the putting. And I think that he's going to, I could be wrong, but I think Walker is going to be the one that sits the most.
Well, let's talk about the European side. You know, I'm not that, there's a couple guys on here I'm not that scared of. Like, I'm not that scared of Fitzpatrick, you know, which props to the Euros. I mean, they have the advantage of having the Ryder Cup, obviously having some studs, but also being able to work in a lot of young talent to grow future, you know, Ryder Cup for. So getting a guy like Fitzpatrick, Thomas Peters, this first time Ryder Cup exposure is key. But for some reason, I'm just not that afraid of Matthew Fitzpatrick. I'm not that afraid of Andy Sullivan. I think the guy's a head case. Now, he might totally – I mean, he's a good golfer. And in stroke play, Andy Sullivan is good. I think he is a total head case. So depending on who he's with or how things are going, be on the lookout for Andy Sullivan. Like, if we're on a hole where Andy Sullivan is, you got to watch for – putter throws and stuff like that. You know, Danny Willett, like, he's the Masters champ, and I like Danny Willett, but the dude has not played well since Augusta whatsoever. So, not in great form, but those are a couple guys I'm not really afraid of. I mean, Bello, Sergio, Rory, Rose, Stenson are all pretty scary. I mean, you know, the super pairing here, I think, would be Rory and Stenson, clearly. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think about the Euro team?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at it, I mean, let's just be objective. I know that they have dominated us for the most part in the last several years, you know, as far as winning the Ryder Cup. But top to bottom, I think the U.S. looks a lot better. You know, there's some unproven guys on the European team, but they have just, for some reason or another, have, you know, tended to dominate us in this style of an event. So you can't count them out. But for me, their team, I don't think they stack up quite as well as we do on the U.S. side, but. And Rory is obviously playing incredible right now. And to me, I have always said when he is on his game, he's the best player in the world. And that is what he is right now. So I'd hate to be the one that's going against him on the U.S. side. I don't care who he's paired with. He is going to be an absolute beast. So, but this to me, it's just an interesting Ryder Cup. This is going to be hopefully one of the better Ryder Cups that you ever see out there, because, you know, both sides I think are hungry. They both want to win. The European team wants to show how dominant they are. The U.S. wants to finally, you know, kind of break through and win one. So we'll see what happens. But I like both teams, but I feel like, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I feel like the U.S. team has a little bit from you know, 1 to 12. I feel like we're a little bit more solid, but we'll see. There's a few rookies on both sides, but it's gonna be fun. I'm excited.
You're just an ethno-citrink American. That's all.
That's right. That's right.
Well, it's good stuff. I hope it's one of the most exciting Ryder Cups in a while too, because we're gonna be there, and that's just going to make it all the best.
I cannot wait to be there. Cannot wait.
So get plugged in to your TV if you're not going to be there, and just cheer on Team USA. And for our Euro buddies, because we do have a lot of people that root, you know, that listen to us from overseas. We love you guys, but
hey, we love you also.
We hope you lose. In the south of the United States, we would say something like, "Boy, I hope you get a mud hole stomped in your ass." You know, so that's kind of what we would say. I think that would be appropriate. So once again, you know, I just want to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody again for supporting Tour Junkies. We greatly appreciate it. We appreciate RotoGrinders.com as well for having the faith in us and distributing our show through their channel and helping us kind of spread the word and get TJ out there to the ears of many more PGA fans and DFS fans. So check out RotoGrinders.com. Those guys put it out every week. Just great content. And you know, please share the rebrand, share the excitement with us, share it on your social media channels, tell some folks about it. Be on the lookout on the site in the next few days for a killer new website. And I would say go USA. Pat, you got anything else?
No, that's all I got, man. Go USA. Great show, man. And rest in peace, Arnie. Love the man.
That's right. Love the king. All right, Tour Junkies, see ya!